This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready?
Hey there, and welcome to another episode of The Showrunner. This is episode number 58 of The Showrunner. I am your host, Jared Morris, VP of Marketing for Rainmaker Digital. And I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Johnny Naster, defender of humanity, connoisseur of coffee, and erstwhile auditor of energy, I believe, was what you were in the last newsletter.
That was a last-minute change, but that is definitely what I was last week.
Right, because originally you were runner of shows, which was just a little bit too obvious. Do you want to...
I tried to slide that one through, but apparently my co-host would disallow it.
Hey,
as a cop-out.
That guy has high standards, all right?
He does. It's good. And that's actually a real good benefit of having a partner in these kinds of things, because when you can just kind of get lazy and just be like, oh, I'll just do it and just do it, it's the other person's going to step in and be like, come on, man. Come on.
That's right.
So it makes the whole performance better.
Exactly. So what is an erstwhile auditor of energy?
So 5 years ago, I think... It ended. I did 3 years of, in Canada, the government of Canada and plus the province of Ontario that I lived in or live in, did government grants to make your home more energy efficient. And so before that would happen, I was an energy auditor, it was called. I would go in and like take pictures of your house, measure it all, see what kind of windows and insulations and all that kind of stuff. And then like we'd do this software thing for it and see like how much energy it used. And then they would do like a whole bunch of renovations. I would go back and like verify all those things and then get them a bunch of grant money.
Wow. It's funny how you can read something and be so totally off. Like I was totally not reading that literally at all. I was thinking it was some like... reference to Scientology or, you know, or like some motivational thing that you
let you down. Wow. No, I literally was.
You're a literal auditor of energy.
I was literal auditor of energy.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Very nice. Well, if someone were to audit my energy right now, they would find that I am very excited because we are continuing on with our series on mini courses. And of course, our series on mini courses is very meta because we are recording the content for our mini courses right here on these episodes of The Showrunner. And so, Johnny, on the last two episodes, you did the first lesson in your mini course, How to Book, Plan, and Execute Engaging Podcast Interviews. And I did the first lesson in my mini course on creating your unique snowflake in a blizzard of podcasts. And so now we're alternating back and it's your turn. And the next week it'll be my turn again. And so I am excited to hear what you have prepared for us here regarding how to plan engaging podcast interviews. Are you ready?
Born ready.
Born ready. Well, let's do it.
All right. So this is the second part of the How to Book, Plan, and Execute Engaging Podcast Interviews mini course. In the first section, we went over how to book. So at this point now in the stage, we have the guest scheduled and ready to come onto our show. Now it's our job to plan and ready ourselves and prepare ourselves to give the best performance for our listener and the best performance for our guest. So we're going to break this into three sections again. We're going to go over doing the research beforehand, then setting up your guest to be awesome, and then we're going to work backwards.
Beautiful.
So let's do it.
Hey, can I ask you one quick question before we start? Because it's interesting that you mentioned the word, I think you used the word performance when you were just talking. And we typically think when we're doing an interview that it's kind of the other person, your guest, but you also really need to be mindful of yourself and kind of putting your best foot forward as the interviewer. And part of the way that you do that, obviously, is setting up your guest to be awesome. But that's also in part, as you're going to talk about here, with doing the research and doing everything, is preparing yourself to give the best performance possible, even if that's just kind of asking questions and engaging and asking good follow-up questions. I think that's an interesting kind of little mindset tweak that maybe people don't really think about when it comes to doing interviews.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. And you're right. I mean, it's wrong to not think of any sort of this show running experience as a performance, because it is, right? It's entertainment. Even though we can be educating or inspiring, we should be also entertaining to some degree, otherwise people won't want to listen to us.
Yeah.
So, all right, so let's do this. Do your research. So I have three sort of steps for doing this, and this can be almost as thorough or as basic as you want it to be. But depending on what you're trying to accomplish, which we'll get to, but you do need to have these things covered. And I find this mostly because you don't want to just be asking questions that are just too obvious, not just for the fact that they might be too obvious and that your guest might know about it. Your listener might know about it already, and so it's not as entertaining, but also because it loses engagement with your guest. I find if it's just the same thing over and over again, it's like, wow, you didn't look into me at all. And then it's all of a sudden you've lost. And we're doing this over voice only usually. So it's really key that we know certain aspects so that it shows that we've put some time in and that we've put our effort into it, into making it a good performance for the listener. And then I find that the guest enjoys also stepping up. So the first thing what I used to do was I had an assistant that would do all my research for me. And then I found this beautiful free app called Charlie App. Charlie App is, it can either connect to your Chrome or connect right to your Gmail, I believe. But I'll link to it. And it's charlieapp.com, I actually believe. And it's a completely free app that connects to your Google Calendar or your Apple Calendar, whatever you use. And any appointments, so any scheduled interviews that you have, it pulls data from that person just based on their email address, their Twitter, their LinkedIn, and it just kind of aggregates all that and sends you one email an hour before. You can set it to even, I think, be a day before if you wish, and then it kind of compiles that information for you so that you basically, I can just go through it, I can click and I can look at their Twitter, I can look at their LinkedIn, because social media to me is a really good place. It seems a bit lurky, but it's kind of, I find it interesting, and my guests always seem to respond well. If I go and during our interview, I'll like mention something they tweeted or retweeted like in the last week or something. It shows that you've done your work, and then and it's completely open, right? Most people's Facebook is closed somewhat, but Twitter is completely public. So you can see, I mean, you can see who they follow, you can see what they're into, and it really gives you a good insight, I find. And then the other social media that I get from Charlie App is LinkedIn, which is, much as I kind of dread going on LinkedIn, I do go onto it for every single guest that I do because it gives me a great background of the work, like their work history, which can really tell you a lot about the person in general, where they've kind of come from. And you can hopefully weave that into the conversation so that it's not just like, well, I looked into the last like 3 months or something of your life. It's kind of, you have this overview and the information's there. That's why people post that stuff to LinkedIn. So the people doing research on them or wanting to know more about them can get that information. So take the time and go get that information, and then bring it back and use it to prepare yourself for this interview. The next point of doing your research seems really, really basic, but I screwed this up early on in my interviewing career, which is pronouncing somebody's name incorrectly. Either the first name, which some usually doesn't seem to be the case, but oftentimes a last name. So I don't do intros while the guest is there. But when I do the intro after the fact, I don't want the person to come back later and be like, wow, you completely mispronounced my last name wrong. And I've done that before, and it's embarrassing. And it's really, I think it's a discredit to you as a showrunner. So, I mean, now I literally go to a TEDx talk or some video interview. I don't know why. For some reason, this just takes me to video when I want to see somebody pronounce somebody else's name. And then I literally have a spot now on my information sheet for the interviews where I actually phonetically write out last names. And this seems small, but these are the tiny little things to me that really, really show and step you up as a professional interviewer. The last step of doing your research is to read their book, right? Or read their blog or whatever work they're trying to promote right now. We discussed this in the last part of the mini course, which was you're looking for people at opportune times to be on your show because they're more likely to want to, because we are selfish in that way, in the fact that if I have something to promote, I'm more likely to want to go on to more shows. So if I do have something to promote and it's my new book, take the time to read it. And you don't have to, when I say read the book, I don't mean you have to like literally read every single like page, but don't read the intro and then don't try and make it like, oh, I read the book and quote something from my intro of my books. It's kind of like, well, you read the intro like probably 20 minutes ago. Like be a little like classier and maybe read chapter 3 or chapter 4. Like look through table of contents and look for parts of the book that would fit into your conversation and go through those parts of the book. It's really, really, really a worthy endeavor. And this person is taking the time to come on so that they can talk and provide value to your listener. Also so that they can hopefully promote their product or their book or their blog. It's your job now to make sure you've taken the time to have a reasonable, good grasp, at least in a reasonable amount of depth of that work or that product or that book, whatever it happens to be. But don't skip this step and don't, well, I don't read books, so that's it. Well, find a way or else do solo shows. Yeah. But it's really, really essential. It really is if somebody, because I've had guests where they try and they'll want to weave the book into the conversation, which sometimes doesn't always work for the conversation you're trying to do. But also at the same time, when they're doing it, you need to be able to respond, not just like ask a completely like question that doesn't make sense. And they're like, well, that was the intro to the book. Did you not read it? And it's like, I sent you a copy. So just do it, right? It seems obvious again, like pronouncing their name right, but make sure you take this step. This is your job. It's your job is not just as a engaging podcast interviewer. It's not just the interview. It's really the work leading up to it that allows you to those interviewers that just want to step on the toes of the guest where we're always interrupting and asking another question or asking a follow-up question that almost doesn't need to be asked because it's been answered 1,000 other places before. You need to go to those places beforehand so you know this. That's where you get to the depth quickly because you don't have to scratch all the surface stuff because you already know the surface and your guest knows the surface stuff. So do this work beforehand and it will pay off immensely when you get to the engaging interview.
And I just wanted to add to this, I had the good pleasure of doing a case study with Sonia Thompson inside of Digital Commerce Academy. Sonia, of course, is one of our students, Johnny, inside the Showrunner podcasting course as well, runs a successful show. And she launched a virtual summit. And as part of the virtual summit, she did 38 interviews. And when we were talking about her experience doing these interviews, this was one of the key elements that she highlighted was really how much she prepared for the interviews by reading people's books, by reading their blogs, and really trying to dig deep and ask the kind of questions that other people who follow these folks haven't heard asked before. And, you know, the other, and that's kind of an obvious benefit of it, you know, because let's say if this person has been a guest on 15 or 20 other shows, well, chances are their fans have listened to some of those shows and you want some of those people listening to your show. So what can you give them that's new? But the thing that really struck me when Sonia talked about this was how much she felt it made the person she was interviewing be more engaged because she was asking questions that they didn't usually get asked. Because a lot of times people go on these interviews, and like you said, they want to weave in the book or they kind of have talking points. And some of that you want to allow to happen, but you also want to kind of ask them some deeper questions, allow them to maybe bring up material that they don't often get to talk about or stories that they don't often get to share. And when you can ask those questions, it shows that you've done your homework, you have more credibility, and I think you can get a more engaged guest with your show. And I know when Sonia interviewed me for that virtual summit, she asked me some questions that no one else has ever asked me. And I was really impressed with the research. And it made me get into it more. And again, as we're talking about this as a performance, as entertainment, that's so much better when you have someone leaning in, leaning forward really into it, as opposed to kind of, you know, just sitting back and giving their rote responses. And you can really bring that out of people when you do your research and ask them the kind of questions that not everybody asks.
Yeah, very well said. And this leads us in a very nice way into step number two, which is setting up your guests to be awesome. So doing that research, and as Jared just said, with Sonia's example, is to ask engaging questions based on your research. That sets your guests up to be awesome because now they're engaged and they can give a better performance. Also, when you set up a guest to be awesome is to brief them. So this is sort of the pre-call, what you're going to write as you lead up to it. And mine is like really, really short, but it gives the guest, so there's no sort of gray area as to what they should be doing. Like, people are always wondering, like, should I give like 10-minute answers to things? Should I give 1-minute answers to things? They need to know that just to be comfortable. So I literally take, it takes me, I'm going to say 1 to 3 minutes to brief my guests beforehand, because I tell them I have we've scheduled a half an hour appointment, and I want to watch their time. Like, if I say a half hour, it's going to be a half hour. So I just briefly tell them, like, okay, the interview lasts 20 to 25 minutes. It's completely about yourself, so there's no wrong answers. And please, when I ask you a question about what you do, don't tell me what people should do. Tell me what you do. Stories are great. Go as far as you want to. Don't worry about getting too far off topic, because I've done this now, luckily, a lot of times, and I can rein you back in as I see necessary to take the conversation where I feel it needs to go. But your job as the guest is to just be free and to take it wherever you want. I will get into the conversation when I need to. Don't worry about me. You just do it. And then you can just feel them like, oh, good. Now they're ready. They're ready to do a good performance for your audience, which is all they're there for. It's a really big waste of time for them, for you, and for your audience if they can't perform, or they feel like they're performing for the wrong audience, or they're giving a completely different sort of performance than you are used to, or that then really works for your format of a show. So quickly tell them that. But as with everything else, just be brief and make it so that the guest knows what to expect, but then also that you're respecting their time and that you're not just telling them how a podcast works, because they've probably been on podcasts, and just kind of cover it. Chris Brogan did a great article about that, because he's a guest on like hundreds of podcasts, and the things that really annoy him about podcast interviewers. But this brief is a really good one to really stick to and just kind of tell them what to expect. The second step is, if you do a proper intro, so if you do an intro separate from the interview, which I think 99.9% of interview-based shows do, you do an intro to your guest leading up to the interview, all completely based on your research from the previous step, then there's no need to start with that first question that also 99% of interviews start with, which is, can you tell me a little bit about yourself? It's like, we just finished a 5-minute intro about this person. You were before the interview explaining all this stuff about the guest. Now you're going to ask them, because speaking from my own experience and speaking to a lot of people I know that do interviews, the least favorite part of the conversation is always that, tell me about yourself. It's not a good way to warm your guest up. Most of us don't really like talking just about like our past and what we sort of did. We like talking about ourselves in an engaging sort of conversation with the interviewer. But when it's just like cold starting, lots of your guests will be kind of a little bit uptight and nervous at the very, very beginning. And the pre-call helps. But then to just go straight into, okay, now give me a 3-minute monologue and make it good about warm my audience up, it's not the best way to do it. So the way I've just always done this is, when I want to do the pre-call, and then I just do, I quickly sort of go over my intro points. So the things I have written down from my research stage, like you worked here, you did this based on LinkedIn, and then you also are promoting this book, which is available on this day. And it kind of just allows the guest to tell you that stuff then, so you don't get any of it wrong in the intro later, but you don't have to rehash it during the conversation. And then the last part of setting your guest up to be awesome is during this whole pre sort of section is it allows us to do an audio test. And I do this, like I don't tell the guest I'm doing an audio test, but we are talking and just sort of having a casual conversation for a few minutes while I sort of set her up to know what to expect. I can tell if there's issues, like if her mic is like popping or if she needs headphones because there's an echo, then I know this is happening and I don't want them self-conscious about it. So I just kind of like once, if it happens, if there's an issue, then I'll tell them about it. Otherwise, I know confidently that we've just spent 2.5 minutes talking. Everything's great. We're good to roll. And that also sets my guest up to be awesome because it doesn't interrupt the flow of the conversation. Because I find there's nothing worse than you're 8 minutes into it. They're giving you this great response and then all of a sudden this issue start happening and you want to interrupt them, but you don't want to interrupt them. And then you have to interrupt them. And then you got to try and bring that like response of your guest. And she's got to try and cut in halfway and just kind of keep going with the answer. And we all know that that doesn't work very well. So this pre-call, setting your guest up allows that time to do that test. And I just trust that if it works for 2 or 3 minutes and it's solid and they've got their headphones now and their mic is good, that we're good to go.
Johnny, one of the most oft-asked questions when it comes to planning interviews is, do you send the guest the questions ahead of time? And in fact, I think we covered this a little bit in lesson one of this mini course, but this is also a pertinent time to discuss it. And people can go both ways on this, because when we talk about setting up your guests to be awesome, sending them the questions ahead of time so that they can prepare, kind of have a look at them, you could certainly argue that would set them up to be awesome. And I know me personally, I do like getting the questions ahead of time when I'm going to be interviewed, because a lot of times as someone being interviewed, I don't have time to go listen ahead of time to all the shows that are going to interview me as much as I'd like to. So I don't necessarily know what their normal questions are, you know, kind of what to prepare for. How do you handle that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we did go over this in the first section, which was you can send them to your interview format page, which can have some questions. And also I suggested having that intro email that has up to 3 questions in it that you will possibly cover. Again, depending on how loose you want to be with the conversation, you might not get to all of those, but it is a good thing. And so it's great that you mentioned this, because I didn't mention that in my pre-call, I'll say, and so whenever we're ready, and I'm just going to have a drink of coffee, and then when you tell me you're ready, I'll hit record. I'll literally just say hi to you, and then we're going to jump straight into the first big question. And so that, to me, sets it up, because otherwise, if I don't say that, I found that I would just be like, okay, welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. And now the guest is like used to a lot of other podcasts and they just want to like talk about the weather and all this stuff. Like, dude, what are we doing? Like, let's get to the conversation. Like, this, the intro's done kind of thing. But when I say we'll just jump into the first big question, I'm going to say 20% of my guests at that point are like, oh, I didn't see that. What's that first big question? I tell them, and they're like, can you give me a minute? And they're like, and then all of a sudden they're like, yeah, let's do this. And you can just feel them like confident and just ready to go. But the other 80% of the people, they've either read it or they just don't want to know. Lots of people just don't want to know the questions. They feel like they work better off the cuff. So I think you should give people those sort of options. To me, that's really pre-call prep. Like, if you're going to jump into a first question, then you should tell them what that question, or at least tell them that's what you're doing. And then they can choose whatever's going to make them feel the best and the most confident at that point.
Yeah, very good.
Cool. All right. So the last step of this is to work backwards. And so this is kind of planning out what you want to happen with the conversation. So thinking about the ending, mostly because there's nothing worse, I feel, than going through an awesome interview, and then all of a sudden you realize like, oh, I should have quit this like 6 minutes ago. And then, but then you're like, okay, well, I can just go back and edit it. But that's, you kind of lose flows and things, right? So to me, I want to know where I want to end. It's why I actually end at the exact same question now. And I start at the same question, and then questions kind of flow and really can kind of go way off topic at times now during my conversation, but I know exactly where I want to start, where I want to end. And that ending takes me back through, and it kind of makes, allows me to plan out where I want to get this conversation to. And it makes sure to me that the conversation ends on the highest note possible. I don't want people to be like thinking at 10 minutes in, like, wow, this is really awesome. And then, whoa, 20 minutes of just, well, I'm not sure what happened. Because you kind of forget those really awesome parts otherwise. But if you can end on a bang, which is that really big thing, that big, I'm going to call it, which takes us to step two, but I'm going to call that the transformation that you want your listener to have. What is it you want your listener to really, really grasp from this conversation? To me, that has to be that end point. Then you got to sort of think, okay, I'm going to give myself 40 minutes for this interview, and I know that I want to end. So with Hack the Entrepreneur, I end on this entrepreneurial gap, which is literally stopping for a moment right now and thinking back across your career and sort of how you feel about it. No looking forward at this point. And so then I sort of take them through that, through like projects they've done and projects they want to do, through like just their working and their habits, back to sort of at the beginning is like, what's the thing you do right now? And it's kind of this like cool transformation. You can kind of hear the guests like go through it. And just at the end, they're like, wow, that's a, that question. And then they have to think. And then it also like really kind of encourages them, and it, they get to end on this like good note too. And that feeling that the guest has at that point, to me, is the transformation that I want my listener to have. I used to sort of be against this idea of the transformation. I used to think that it was kind of like woo-woo or something, if you want, but it's really, really, really an imperative thing. It's not like just like things you need to just check off or something. This is literally what it is you're trying to get your listener to do through their head or something, but this transformation, that's what they want, and that's what's going to keep people coming back for more. So find that point. What is it? If you're teaching them about anything, there, you know your audience of one. We've talked about this. You know who they are, you know what their hurdles are, what their struggles are, all those things, what keeps them up at night. And then you also need to know where it is they want to be. That's the transformation. And in these conversations, you need to help and allow your guest to take your audience through that transformation. So you need to know that, and then you need to work back. Then the last part of this working backwards is, as I just sort of said with Hack the Entrepreneur, is to have those checkpoints. So you know where you want the transformation, you know where you need to end. Then you need to work back to that first question. That first question shouldn't be, tell me a bit about yourself, because that's not really, that's your intro. But then it's going to be this beginning and this ending. And you can get as loose and sort of amorphous as you want within this process. But I find that to get from point A to that last, very last point, say D, if that's where you want it to be at the end, you should have some sort of checkpoints where you can, in some sort of way, you can bring it back. And this is how, when I give my guests the pre-call and I say, you go as far as you want to go into stories, go off topic as far as you think. I don't want you second guessing as you're talking, because I want it just kind of coming out of you, because that's where the good conversation comes from. And don't worry, I'll bring you back onto topic. And I can say this confidently because I have the four parts that it's like, okay, I know we're talking about entrepreneurship, we're talking about business, we're talking about projects. I know that we're never going to get so far off topic that I can't all of a sudden like, okay, now let's talk habits. And then I know that if this conversation goes this way, okay, now let's move on to projects. And I know that projects is the final step before we get to that very last ending point that I want to be, because that's now what they've accomplished through all these projects. And it just, it really allows to, it's like your roadmap of the conversation. And you don't need questions necessarily that are pre-written, because you want it to be kind of loose and forming, but you want these sort of checkpoints because it will allow you. Otherwise, you're going to be at like 38 minutes. You're like, I only want to go 30 minutes. And you still have to get to this last question, which is the transformation point. And then you might just start missing the transformation point. So if you have that roadmapped out, it's going to take time, but you'll be able to sort of like every 10 minutes or something, you'll be like, okay, if I get to this next checkpoint and this next checkpoint at 40 minutes, bang on almost, you'll be at that transformation question and you'll be wrapping up. And the conversations will go an infinite number of places within that. But at the same time, every single time, your listener is going to get what you told them they're going to get, which is that transformation.
So here's a question that kind of transitions us into the third part of this, but I love this. I mean, you talk about working backwards. So you've got your end in mind. You know, you in particular, you start with that same first question, and you've got these checkpoints as you go. And you talked about how you don't necessarily want all of the questions in the middle to be pre-written. But how are you then, what's your strategy for coming up with questions as we go? Because I think a lot of people who are interviewing have that anxiety of, this person's going to stop talking at some point and I need to have something to say. And for some people, that's having kind of a list of pre-written questions ready to go. But obviously, the best conversations, you're really able to live in the moment of the conversation, kind of respond and react to them. So how do you make sure that you're keeping track of the checkpoints, number one, and that when the conversation does come back to you, that you have the right question, the right words to get it on the track that you want to go and also get out of the person that you're interviewing what you want to get out of them?
Yeah, I listen, and you have to, because if you are just so focused on, like you say, having this pre-list of questions, then I think we end up not listening. And somebody will give a brilliant answer that kind of is going somewhere, even whether they want to or not, or consciously or not. It kind of like naturally goes that way. And it feels like, yeah, we should go deeper into this. And you need to be able to run with that because you're listening and engaging. It's a human conversation. Unfortunately, we have these computer screens in our way, but that's it. They're literally sitting on the other side of your desk having a conversation with you. If a death in the family comes up or like something traumatic like that, for you just to skip over and say like, well, what are your three habits in the morning? It's pretty inhumane.
Callous.
Exactly. And that's going to completely, that's it. Like you did not set your guest up to be awesome at that point. And I've actually struggled with that yesterday with the conversation. It was like, cause I knew where I wanted to go, but it was like, wow. And so we had to kind of go into that, but at the same time, I don't want to go so far off. Like, I mean, it's not, my audience doesn't want to all of a sudden hear us talk about the death of your mother for the next 25 minutes but to ignore it is just, yeah, it's harsh. It's callous. You can't do it because it's going to be off-putting for your guests and it's going to be off-putting for your listener. But at the same time, you need to, when you know where you're heading sort of, so I've done this so many times now, but if I know that I'm heading to a next checkpoint, at least from listening to the conversation, I know in the back of my head that, okay, I need to get to this next checkpoint sometime in the next 5 to 6 minutes. It's like my follow-up question in our conversation, I can kind of push it that direction so that it's not just like, okay, now completely abrupt. We're talking about death in a family to now, can you tell me how to market your product? Like it's not, you know what I mean? It's not going to be like that. And this takes practice, but this takes research and takes knowing. So you typically don't get sideswiped by something completely off the radar in the conversation because you've done your research, but then being comfortable with sort of taking it in directions you kind of need it to go, but with the conversation. And I know that's not really an answer. I mean, the answer itself for doing this working backwards is really knowing that that exists and knowing that these checkpoints are there doesn't mean you can necessarily hit them every single conversation. It doesn't mean that you should, but I think it really helped. It really did actually help me. I know that it helped me sort of structure and sort of just get a lot better and more comfortable in my conversations, which comes out, I think, to the listener and allows you to grow as an interviewer. Of course, there's going to be an endless sort of just special cases and certain things that are going to happen in conversations that you can't control. That's kind of the cool part of it. And you should kind of nourish those times when they come. But I really do think that having those points and just sort of knowing, and you, they kind of just become natural to you. And they'll evolve sort of over time as you'll sort of get to know your audience better or your audience evolves, whatever happens. But I find it just, it's not just a loose conversation about anything, mostly because your audience is there for a specific reason and to get this certain transformation out of you. So me just all of a sudden talking about baseball because my guest, she played baseball with her son over the weekend and they had a lot of fun. If I just all of a sudden went for the next 30 minutes about like the rules of baseball, it would be a natural flow possibly of a conversation over a beer, but I don't want to hear that recorded and then put out to my listeners who want to learn how to start businesses.
Yeah. And that's why a great interview is a combination of art and science. It is both.
I guess that's exactly the best summary of it right there. Yeah. That it is. It's that combination. But to ignore the science and not have it in place beforehand and just go with the art, usually, I mean, art usually even has to just follow the rules of art to be good art. You have to know the rules before you can break them kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That's the process of it.
Yep. So in summation here, for how to plan engaging podcast interviews, you want to do your research. Apps like the Charlie app will help. Certainly understanding how to pronounce folks' names is extremely important. And then do your research in terms of reading their book, reading their blog, any work that you can find to make sure that you can ask good questions. Good for your audience and good to keep the person that you're interviewing engaged. Number two is set your guest up to be awesome. So make sure that you brief them as Johnny described. If you're going to do a proper intro, remember that you don't need to start with the old, tell me a little bit about yourself. Verify your intro points with the guest. Let them customize it. And then this also gives them a few minutes to do an audio test, which is nice, without them noticing, which is cool. Step number three then, and really the crux of this, is working backwards. So thinking about the ending first, and then understanding what transformation you want your listeners to have from beginning to that end, and then having check-in points that allow you to keep the conversation moving forward in the way that it moves forward.
Excellent.
Good work, Johnny.
Thanks, man. I think we did it.
And so now we have lesson three coming up and how to book, plan, and execute engaging podcast interviews, which will come in 2 weeks. And next week, we have the second lesson in my mini course on differentiating your show.
This is fun.
I really like this format. This is cool.
Yeah. And it's really it's forcing me to really think about the episodes beforehand. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it'd be interesting to hear from you out there listening, what the difference is as the listener for the really structured, like, as we said, this 3x3x3 sort of outline we're following, compared to say 3 or 4 episodes ago where it was just us with like a couple ideas and then we would just sort of loosely talk. Maybe it's a cool change up, or maybe it's just a better format, or maybe you just like it when we're loose. I don't know. It'd be cool to hear. Let us know.
Yeah, it would. Let us know on Twitter at Jared Morris, at John Naster. We would love to know. And with that said, let's do a podcast recommendation.
Let's do it.
So I will kick this off. Johnny, I have a really interesting recommendation. It's a show called Beautiful Anonymous on the Earwolf Network. And the basic premise behind the show is it's one phone call. It's an hour long and there are no names. So random people call this guy Chris. And the only rule is that he can't hang up for the first hour. So they can hang up anytime they want to, but he can't hang up. And they just talk. And, you know, you want to talk about, see, what's interesting about this is he's kind of doing an interview, but he can't really work backwards because he doesn't know these people. So he doesn't know really where he wants to go or necessarily what transformation can happen. He just knows that he wants to have a great conversation with these people. And so I recommend this show for two reasons. Number one, it's just kind of interesting. To just hear these random people and their random stories and to hear how the conversations evolve, because they evolve in ways that you really wouldn't expect, but also to study it in terms of how do you come up with those next questions? Because the secret, you know, that you'll learn from listening to this show is about listening, like you talked about, Johnny. And that's really what Chris, the host of the show, does so well, is he listens. And that allows him then, when the spotlight is back on him to ask a question, to ask a really good question. And it doesn't feel like an interview so much as just a conversation. And usually the best interviews do feel like that. And so this is good, appropriate listening for this topic. And just if you want kind of a fun, new, unique show, because we're all about podcasts that are out there trying new things and coming up with unique ideas. So this one fits both bills. So it's called Beautiful Anonymous. You search for that in iTunes or anywhere else, you will find it. Very good show.
Excellent. And I'm 2 episodes in a row now, but I'm going to keep it in the family this time. And this is a great podcast, co-hosted by my co-host, the digital entrepreneur. And you can find that at digitalcommerce.com/podcast. But the digital entrepreneur is Jared Morris and Brian Clark, CEO of Rainmaker Digital. And you guys did an excellent episode. I cannot remember the guest, but luckily you were on the show. But the episode was called Secrets of a Six-Figure Online Course Builder. It was an interview with
Danny Margulies.
Nice. With Danny Margulies. And so that is my recommendation, The Digital Entrepreneur. And if you want a specific episode, it is Secrets of a Six-Figure Online Course Builder.
Yes. We would love to have you listen to The Digital Entrepreneur, which I'm having a lot of fun doing. And with that said, Johnny, I think it is time to wrap up, because it is now my turn to go prepare the next episode. So I shall turn my attention toward that. But you, dear showrunner listener, turn your attention toward showrunner.fm, the URL, because that is where you can go and join the showrunner. You can get our weekly newsletter if you're not getting it already. It includes announcements of free public events, like the public showrunner huddle that we had last week to answer folks' questions, which we always enjoy doing. Plus, we give you a recap and a summary of that week's showrunner episode. And then the world's greatest podcast email newsletter section. I'm just going to make that claim right now. It is our We Highly Recommend section that you won't want to miss, as we always try to find something thought-provoking, interesting, helpful, useful to help you take your show running to the next level. You don't want to miss it. And we alternate. So one week you get Johnny's perspective, another week you get my perspective, and we go back and forth. And we try and really give you good stuff in that section. So showrunner.fm, join the email list, get that and a whole lot more when you join.
That was a call to action and a half. I liked it. It was good. Thank you. It was well done.
Thank you.
All right. So that's been fun. So we did part 2 of the mini course, and we have a call to action. We have a podcast recommendation. I think that's it.
Let's do it.
So
it is time for us to wrap up. Thanks for being here. We'll talk to you all next week. Why are we talking over each other all of a sudden?
I'm not sure. Yeah, we just keep trying to end it. I apologize, Toby.
Sorry, Toby. We'll talk to y'all later.
Take care.